Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and we got a hot topic, you guys. There's a lot of conversation going on right now in our sport about a lot of things, but one of the really big hot topics that's just popped in the last week or so is a conversation about the Foundation Stock Service, miscellaneous, the process that new breeds follow to become recognized by the American Kennel Club. And I have with me a really good friend of mine and a fantastic guest on this topic, Veronica Miller, who has Portuguese Podengo Medio.
Yes. Correct.
Working their way through the FSS system. And there's a lot of conversation going on within this particular community. And so Veronica was like my favorite person to talk about it because she's right in the middle of it. And I have said many times, I've said it here on the show, I've said it to a lot of people, a lot of the real consuming passion, new people, advancement of the sport that I encounter is at open shows and people within the FSS community. And so I have been advocating for a very long time that we need to pay attention to that. And this feels like the opposite of that. All right, you guys, I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. So welcome, Veronica. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk about this.
This is a big deal. So August 2025 AKC Board Minutes, AKC Foundation Stock Service, they talk about the system. It was established in 1995 to serve individuals with rare or developing breeds by providing a method to maintain registration records and stud book, streamlining the transition of the registry once the breed obtains full recognition status with the American Kennel Club. So there you go. And the staff is tasked with keeping these requirements up to date. And there are several changes that were made according to these board minutes, some of which are more, how do we say it, burdensome, I guess, than others for the breeds involved. And amongst them includes an increased number of CM titles. So a CM is the equivalent to a championship, basically. Am I right, Veronica?
Yeah.
From 10 to 20 to be earned by a minimum of 5 different parent club members. And I think the big one that people that I am listening to are most freaked out about is a minimum of 20 litters bred and enrolled within a 3-year period after the breed moves to miscellaneous. Am I right? That's kind of like the big one. So there's a variety of other things. And this is so new, they don't even have it up on the website yet. Like I was trying to find it to talk about it. And so we don't know. So Veronica, talk to me about your breed, specifically the people that you know, specifically that are involved in these breeds in the FSS community, and why this is such a problem. And you know, maybe even the most important part, and I don't have confirmation of this, but you tell me, that the FSS community feels as if this was implemented without any input from the community themselves, with no stakeholders involved.
Yeah, that is part of the issue there. Mm-hmm. I have Portuguese Podengos. They are a medium to large hunting hound, very active breed. With, you know, particular needs for homes, as sure. Hounds and sporting dogs do.
Sure.
they entered FSS in 2009 mm-hmm. and then moved into miscellaneous in 2014.
Okay.
And this particular breed has been on the cusp of moving into full recognition a number of times. Mm-hmm. And then the rules and regulations for moving up change on us. And there's
and
no
so
brand.
Tell me how many times that's happened to you, particularly with your breed.
So since I came in, initially we had to have 300 dogs registered. We met that. Then it was, you had to have a minimum of 20 litters. We had hit that, but then they moved it to 20 litters within a 5-year period after moving to miscellaneous. We're about one litter away from meeting that, and now it's 20 litters within 3 years. And most of these changes have taken place since 2018. So in a short number of years, there have been a whole lot of changes. There has been no outreach to any of our breed clubs. We hear from AKC that they are a club of clubs, but changes are made for FSS and miscellaneous breeds without our input and without any discussion or reasoning. And it's
and do frustrating. Do your clubs have delegates to the AKC?
We do not have delegates. So,
you literally have no voice in this conversation.
Correct. The presidents of our individual clubs are considered liaisons, and they talk directly with the FSS department, so AKC staff, but there is no direct feedback or discussion with the board at all.
Okay. So, I mean, we're just going to stick with you. We're using you as our avatar. I know there's other breeds that are more or less or differently impacted, fewer numbers, more numbers, what have you, but we'll just use you as our avatar. What does this change mean for you personally and your club and your breed?
So it means that we need to breed a bunch of litters and in a very, very short period of time. And the issue that we look at personally for our breed is we have medium to large because our breed encompasses two size varieties. So very active dogs that have larger litters. So 20 litters for us could mean trying to find homes for 200 plus dogs.
Sure.
Whereas if you look at a small breed, one of the toy breeds, they could be placing 20 or 30 dogs. Mm-hmm. So the blanket number of litters and trying to figure out how do we place this number of dogs in appropriate homes. And there's not a consideration for, we know we have an active number of dogs here in the U.S., but our breed has thousands throughout the world. And so there's no consideration for our overall gene pool when they're looking at, is this a healthy breed going forward? And do we have enough genetic diversity? You know, the American Kennel Club doesn't take international numbers into account for that either.
Okay. And so the other question, communication is a key as a request or a suggestion or a hey, communication, right, I think is an important thing. And doing what's best actually for the dogs is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we want to make sure that we do have a healthy gene pool and good genetics within our breed. We also want to make sure that we have appropriate homes, and forcing a set number of litters could potentially lead to people making poor decisions for the dogs. And I would say people in my breed are not going to do that. And I would hope that no one would do that. But it is, you know, something to really think about. And the other thing with this particular board decision that really, I think, pushed a lot of buttons is for most breeds, when things come before the board, it is brought before the board, discussed, and then they leave it until the next board meeting when it's then voted on, which allows for a feedback period. And that did not happen.
That's a really good point. This was an immediate, like, boom right now.
Yeah. And, you know, we have been told that we can provide feedback to the board, but they've already voted on it. So we do not have the feedback period that other breeds would have.
Okay. We're not going to speculate because that's not our job. Have you received any specific communication that says we did this because? Or
no.
Up in the air?
No. A couple of breed representatives, club presidents have reached out to the FSS department and they were told to communicate with the board. It was a board decision. And that's all that we have been told. So, and there's been no official announcement and no information being sent to any of the breed clubs either. We found out about these changes after the board minutes were published.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in the board minutes, right?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Purina is excited to tell you about the new My Purina app that lets you share with your puppy buyers. Using the app, pet owners can shop, earn points, and get rewarded for their purchases. Here's how it works. Pet owners download the My Purina app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store on their mobile device. They also can sign up for an account and access the program's features online by visiting purina.com/mypurina-app. When pet owners buy everyday pet supplies like treats and ProPlan puppy and dog food, they can scan the receipts to earn rewards. Dog toys, food coupons, tote bags, bag dispensers, smart ID pet tags, and training clickers are just some of the great items available. The My Purina app supports puppy buyers and rewards them for being a super pet parent. They can find the formula that suits their pet's unique needs and explore the train and play content library for a bonding experience with their pet. Encourage your clients to join the app that brings pets and the Purina passion together. My Purina, where you shop, earn, and get rewarded.
Talk a little bit about the harm that this does to the sport in general, to the people who are involved in these breeds. There's going to be an argument made that we have too damn many breeds. Why do we need any more? Whatever. Talk about that and the community that you guys have in the FSS group.
Yeah. I can speak mainly to my breed. We have a very ancient breed. Many of our standard breeds that we have now are largely based on the history of my own breed, which is way, way older than the American Kennel Club, which is a frustration. Mm-hmm. But I think this makes it hard for us to bring people into the fold, to bring new people in when we want to be recognized, we want to be involved. And then we're being set back. Mm-hmm. And it makes it feel like we're never going to get there. We're never going to make these benchmarks. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, our breeds are being held back from some of the performance sports stuff as well.
Talk about that, because you've said this before in a couple other settings that I've seen. And I guess I don't understand lure coursing and some of that stuff enough to make a coherent commentary about it. So talk to me about, again, using your breed as an avatar.
So for my breed in particular, we have a sighthound breed. So they are allowed to do AKC lure coursing. Mm-hmm. Because they are still in miscellaneous, because they're not fully recognized, they're not allowed to earn a field championship in lure coursing.
So they can do the your version of a hunt test, right? Lure coursing, not field trial.
Correct. Well, yes. So there's three different titles in lure coursing. There's a senior courser, master courser, and then the field champion.
Okay.
So we can get our senior courser and then your master courser, but you can't get the field champion. And generally what happens is your dog gets a senior courser while it's working towards its master courser. It's getting legs for both field champion and master at the same time.
Ah.
And if we ran for master currently, we'd have to rerun for field.
For field champion. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, a while back, the board voted to allow some FSS miscellaneous herding breeds to earn herding championships. So they're allowed to title. We were told, our breed specifically, that we are not eligible for field champions because there's not enough dogs participating in lure coursing.
Of your breed?
Of my breed. Mm. My breed is not participating because we can't title.
So the chicken and the egg. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Fascinating. Okay. Talk to me a little bit, because this is what I come back to. All of the people, and I mean all of the people, almost exclusively, not exclusively, vast majority of people that I've encountered in the FSS, like that whole open show community, are young. And in a sport where I am a baby, and honestly, our thought leaders and our elder statesmen are, we'll just say, graying, and in which it is an acknowledged fact that we need more people and more young people. Talk to me about the community as a whole, as a group, and do you see the same thing I see there?
I do. A lot of this group is the under 40 crowd, which is not the usual for
what we need
and not the usual for combination. We have found breeds that we love and want to dedicate our lives to. And just because it's not the usual breed that's out there doesn't make them worth any less. We have the breeds that we have because they are special to us. Right. And these folks are incredibly dedicated to these dogs. There have been multiple trips to Europe, multiple trips to Japan, when we're looking at our Nihon Ken breeds, working with the countries of origin. I personally worked with a hunt kennel in Portugal to bring my girl over directly from Porto. So, you know, we are really dedicated and want to do more with our dogs, which is the whole point here, but being held back in so many ways. And unfortunately, that's going to turn these folks away from AKC. And they may go to other venues. They may just stay at home with their dogs. And then we're losing a huge segment of people that could really grow our sport, both on the confirmation end and the performance end.
Right. Right. And since we all just saw the numbers recently that confirmation and lure coursing and all the other sports that are down 5 to 10% year over year from the last couple of years, that seems like a super poor decision, but that's just me. So one of the things that we try and do a lot here in this show is talk about solutions, not just problems. So what are things that we can do? What are actions, like actionable items that people out here in listener land can do to assist in this endeavor?
Start with looking at your FSS and miscellaneous breeds. We have a lot of folks that have come to us and said that they're interested, that they would like a puppy, that they would like a Podengo, but they don't want one until it's full status. Well, that doesn't help us get to full status. So if these are breeds that you are interested in and you love and you want to see out and about in the world, bring one into your home. Like, let's start with that. Get a puppy.
Sure.
Or, you know, understanding that a lot of folks in the FSS miscellaneous world are new, are younger, are new to dogs, be open to mentoring and helping one another out. We have a really tight-knit, wonderful group of folks, but we are always open to help and support. If you have a club that's hosting a show, add open show to your shows. Ask your local FSS people to help out. They will. Also, if you're hosting a show, please include FSS and miscellaneous in your non-standard classes. So
even if you're not having an open show, you can still have FSS. I know you have miscellaneous, but you can have FSS
in things like veteran, you know, puppy classes, the 4 to 6 months, things like that. So, but it has to be said in the premium that these breeds are allowed. So,
well, and I think to me, a lot of that is that's just awareness. Like, I don't think anybody is trying to keep anybody out. They just don't know they're supposed to do that. So that's a super important thing to share with show chairs and clubs that are putting on all breed shows, that you don't even have to host an open show, like make an extra thing. You can just make sure that all your non-regular is available to FSS as well as miscellaneous.
Right. Like in Greeley, there was a hound specialty and our hounds were allowed to show in veterans and puppies. And it was great. It was great because we got to, you know, participate in extra ways. So,
right. And it's a dog podcast. So when you hear a dog barking on a dog podcast, you shouldn't be surprised.
It's a Podango and he's outside and there's probably a rabbit in my yard. So sorry about
rabbit,
that.
Rabbit, rabbit.
And the other thing is, for those of you that are listening and are concerned about these changes, write to AKC. Like, send them a letter, send them an email. Really reach out to the board and make it known that it's not just us. I know that someone in a couple of fully recognized breeds has already been writing letters to AKC. Mm-hmm. So encourage your breed clubs to also reach out.
Well, and reach out to your delegate, because the board of directors has to respond to the delegate body. And if you go to your friend who's a delegate for another breed and say, hey, you know, then that just helps get the information more socialized into the delegate body and then from there to the board itself.
And I would love AKC to add, if not one for each of our breeds, add an FSS delegate and a miscellaneous delegate.
Yeah. Taxation without representation, man.
Yes, that. Because I know that, you know, some of the FSS breeds may only have two dogs in the U.S., right?
So yeah. There's a lot of really small. I mean, our friend Jamie Morris that just doubled the entire population of the Drevers in the U.S. in one litter. Yeah, I mean, that's a different challenge. You know, like they're at a different level of challenge, but I think that it's all of it is important. And I am just, there's so much frustration and challenge within the sport right now. It seems like taking an area of enthusiasm and interest and excitement and bashing it over the head with a stick is not a great idea.
Correct. Yeah.
That's just kind of, you know, my gut on that.
More and bring us into the fold more. And it's going to grow the sport overall, which we need more of.
Which we need, right? Okay, so everybody out there, adopt your favorite FSS breed. Have a mascot. You know, talk to us just in the final section of this conversation. Give us just the tiniest little bit more background. If someone was interested in a Podango, what kind of owner makes a great Podango owner?
Someone with a lot of patience. So
so we've seen everybody needs to make sure they understand. We know the Pequeño is already an AKC-approved breed. These are similar, but a different variety. Am I understanding that correctly?
They are a different variety. They are more working hound in temperament. Mm-hmm. The Pequeño tends to be a little more terrier-like in temperament.
Mm, okay.
So the Medios and Grands definitely have a mind of their own. They are very people-oriented. They bond very closely to their owners. But if there is a rabbit, all bets are off.
Right. Typical. I mean, sight hound. Typical. I'm sorry. But yeah, hound.
But they are extremely versatile. I do multiple sports with mine. You need to have a sense of humor.
I tell you this all the time. They look like baby Ibethan hounds. Where could it Ibethan hounds?
Well, they're cousins. Yeah. So they're all kind of related out there. So yeah, a little more coat for the wire ones.
But. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I've seen wire-coated Ibethan hounds with that sort of a long wire coat that's very similar to the Podango coats of your
dog. Yeah, they're basically the Portuguese version of the Ibethan hound. So, but I think that these guys have a little more want to work with their people just based on how they're hunting in Portugal.
Mm-hmm. And do they hunt them? Are they a pack dog in Portugal? How do you work?
They are a pack dog. So the Medios generally run after rabbit and hare. The Grands are generally hunting wild boar and stag.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes they work in mixed packs together. So they'll use the Pequeño to like flush the game and then the larger dogs to sit down. So,
amazing.
But I do have a plan to go out hunting with my girl's breeder in the next year or two. So
Fine.
Very excited about that.
Very cool. All right. Well, Veronica, I really appreciate your time. I appreciate you sharing some insight. Everybody out there in listener land, if you want to do a solid for the sport as a whole, here's an area that has got some room to maneuver. So
thank you so much.
Hey guys, I am super excited about this. Marty and I have been working on a brand new series of seminars that we're bringing to the Dog Fancy. It's called Pedigrees to Pups. And we are launching it with sort of a taste test on June 13th here in Grants Pass, Oregon, my hometown, with my local dog show. We are bringing together the art and the science of dog breeding in one place, and we're so excited. We're going to talk everything from selecting your foundation bitch and stud dog, to reading pedigrees and breeding theory, to mating and whelping. The event here in Grants Pass is a short little overview, 3 hours before the dog show starts. And on the weekend of September 5th in Hawaii, we will have a 3-day seminar. And the following weekend in Wisconsin, we'll have another 2-day seminar. And so if you're really interested in doing a deep dive, you want to hang out with Marty and I, ask questions, get one-on-one advice, up close and personal mentoring, this is the way to do it. Stop by puredogtalk.com, go to the events page, and you will find out about the event in June. And we'll keep it updated as we have details on the events in Hawaii and Wisconsin. We look forward to seeing you guys there and cannot wait to kick off this seminar series. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the Purebred Dog Fancy. So stop by the Supers Desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.